Great Kahan. Kiefer. Oh,
Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Praise Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh truly be with each and every one of you. This is such an awesome opportunity. Yeah, I could think of no greater honor, you know, that Yahweh can give to somebody to be able to serve in His house on His Sabbath day. You know, this is truly something that we need to be looking forward to throughout the week, because this is where we learn the way of life. You know, all the things that the world offers to us right now, brethren, it's foolishness, and the quicker we get away from it, the better off we're going to be. Praise Yahweh. The title of what I wanted to speak of today is "The Attitude of Servitude and Gratitude Will Keep Us Steadfast." And, you know, I didn't want to create a tongue twister there, but each one of those words is very, very important. You know, your attitude, your servitude, your gratitude, and of course being steadfast, being the ultimate goal that we would like to accomplish. And we'll get into some of the meanings of those words as we go on, but I could have just as easily, you know, entitled this, "Don't Let Yourself Be Defeated." You know? Because that's the opposite end of that. If you're not serving, you know, with this attitude of servitude and gratitude, you're most likely, you are going to allow yourself to be defeated. And, you know, I wanted to, my goal today was really to try to remind all of us of the wonderful work that Yahweh is doing. You know, and we see this growing and growing more every day. And some of us that can remember, you know, back at you know, these humble beginnings and how this work has flourished, you know, and this awesome plan that Yahweh has had from the beginning and us to have a part in it. Brethren, we ought to be the most joyful people on the face of the earth, you know. It should take everything the world has to get a frown on our face. And even with that, it shouldn't last long, you know. But I'm going to ask a question, and I want everybody to think of this, you know, honestly, is that what value do you place on your position in this house? You know, in the work that Yahweh has given you to do, how do you value that? You know, where does that stand on your value system? Because I know sometimes, you know, we can get caught up in our daily troubles, and we can allow ourselves to neglect the work in doing so. You know, we can get overwhelmed with our own troubles that we push the work aside, and that is where we can fail. We have to be on guard of that. I remember speaking to a great Kohan about a month ago, I guess, about some personnel, and this is what kind of got me to thinking about this. I really needed somebody's assistance, and I was trying to see if I might be able to get to use him. And well, he said, "Well, we're a little short-handed because a few people had left their positions." And, you know, I kept thinking to myself, it just didn't compute. You know, I kept playing over and over and over again ever since then. And that how do we leave our positions in the house of Yahweh? You know, how do we abandon the work that Yahweh has given us to be a part of? You know, that's what I was saying about being defeated, because that is a sign of defeat. And Yahweh willing, I can maybe get this across today to where that doesn't take place again. And that if you're in a situation like that, that you've been neglecting the work, that you can see this and you could turn around and get back into it. You know, brethren, because there's nothing more important in the entire world than the work of the house of Yahweh, you know? I can't even explain how much that bothered me when he told me that, but if you turn to Galatians 6, I guess we'll get started here. Galatians 6, this is found on page 914. You know, because the scriptures do speak clearly on all these issues, and we need to rehearse this. This is our foundation that we need to be tied into in order to have this defense, you know. In Galatians 6... if you look at verse 4, this is very important here. He says, "But let every person carefully test and prove his own work. Let every person carefully test and prove his own work. And, you know, I was thinking about this and thinking that I'm pretty sure I mention this every time I speak about this plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, you know, because it's something that I understand, and that this is a method to test and prove work. You know, the plummet for a builder is what you use to test and prove to see if you're, for instance, installing like a door jamb. You know, a door needs to be plumb in order to work and function properly. So you could test that work with a plummet. And I use that in understanding the scriptures here and how we can test and prove our own works, because remember the prophets told us. The prophets told us that the plummet would be in the hand of a Zerubbabel, that is our pastor and overseer, and this way would be made clear to us, that we could test and prove our own work. And what work? He says our deeds, our conduct, you know, the performance of the law. We need to be able to put this up against all the various things that have come forth from the house of Yahweh to teach and guide us. The Peaceful Solution, the books of Israel, all the sermons and books and booklets that we have in the house of Yahweh. We need to honestly look at those things and measure up to them. And if we're off a little bit, we need to adjust to that plummet. You know, the plummet is right. The plummet is always right. It cannot lie. Okay, and I say that in both terms of an actual plummet. You know, because it works on gravity. You know, it's always going to be right. But that is actually more likely to be wrong than the plummet that's in the hand of Zerubbabel, because what the prophets have spoken is the absolute truth. You know, and we can fully trust in that. You know, I wanted to bring this up in this with this comparison, because for a carpenter, for a builder, this is a discipline, you know, that you don't walk away from something that's not right. You know, you fix it right then and there, because you know if it's not right, it's not just going to become right on its own. You've got to fix it while you still have the opportunity to fix it. Otherwise, it's much harder to come back in later and try to fix these things. Well, this is a discipline that is taught in that field. It's the same discipline that we need to deal with our character. You know, we can't walk away from our problems and think that they're going to get better on their own. You know, if you're reading these books like we should, and we see these problems, brethren, we got to fix it right then and there. You know, don't wait until later, because the problem grows worse as you wait. But also, let's look at verse 5. He says, because this ties right into it. He says, "For each one must carry the load that has to be carried." So you see, this is not a one-man operation here. But as part of the body of believers, as part of the house of Yahweh, which is one unit, each member has to carry its own load that needs to be carried. Okay? And your position in this house, your work, is that load that needs to be carried. We depend on each other to do this work. I tell you, I was running off of a low sleep this morning. and I had the best cup of coffee this morning I think I've ever had in my life. It was perfect. You know, some coffee is like more like tea, and then some is more like mud. This one was right in between. It was just perfect, just what I needed, and I got my energy back, and I was able to kind of start focusing again. You know, but without that cup of coffee, without somebody being there early to get these things going in advance, without the servants of Yahweh, this couldn't be so. So you know, praise Yahweh for that. But that word servitude, now I'm going to be quoting from one of the books of Israel here. The word servitude, if you look it up in the dictionary, it actually comes from the word slave. Okay, and it says it's a condition in which one lacks liberty, especially to determine one's own course of actions or way of life. Now, you gotta understand that with what's been taught and in the scriptures, is that this has to be voluntary. You know, nobody's going to force you to do righteousness. This is something that we have to choose voluntarily. And that's what was written here in this book of Israel that we went over in the law class a couple weeks ago. in the 11th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 14, and page 131, verse 53. That's a lot of numbers. you see how much wisdom and understanding we have here in the house of Yahweh to choose from. He says, now notice what comes next here. And he's talking about a prophecy that is made for us and for our high priest here in Genesis 49. And he says, and the obedience of the nations is his. And he says here, but this prophecy here is not just about Yahshua. It's about some donkeys. About some donkeys that carry the load willingly. That willingly do this work. It's got to be willingly. It's got to be volunteered. It's a tribute that has to be volunteered. So I asked that question, you know, thinking of it the opposite way. Well, if we voluntarily leave our position, where does that put us? You know, it doesn't put us there with that prophecy in Genesis 49, but it puts us somewhere else. Okay, and the purpose of the house of Yahweh, you know, one of the great duties of the house of Yahweh is to inform the people so that they can make rational decisions. The house of Yahweh gives you the truth. You know, the world tries to lead you and sway you with persuasive words into doing things that are not right. But the house of Yahweh educates with the truth and says, here is the truth. Now you make the decision. This is what's going to take place if you don't do this. But here's the facts. You know? And that's what I want all of us to be aware of, is the facts. That this world has nothing to offer. That this is the only protected place on the face of the earth. And pretty soon, you know, pretty soon we'll see the extent of just how evil mankind can be. And, you know, brethren, we got to be prepared for it. He says, you know, I know that sometimes you get to where you don't want to deal with somebody. Personality conflicts, and sometimes people have done things to you that build up a wall in your mind. And you know, especially in the workplace, sometimes you get these feelings towards maybe your supervisor. Be turning to First Kefa. First Kefa in chapter 2. You know, you get to the point where you don't want to deal with it anymore, and you think the way out is to quit. First Kefa, verse 2, and then let's look at verse 18 real quick here. And remember, this is our foundation. This is what we hold fast to. This will help us stand. Servants, be subject to your rulers with all fear, not only to the kind and gentle, but also to the harsh. So if you walk away from the work because of something that maybe your supervisor did that you thought was harsh, are you justified? No. This scripture testifies against you. It says that no, you cannot do that. That you must submit yourself not only to the kind and gentle, but also to the harsh. But notice in verse 19, he says, for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of Yahweh. Okay, so that's what's got to be on your mind. Not seeking our own way, not retaliation, not any of these things that are taught all throughout the world. You know, don't let them do that to you. You got to get back at them. That's not taught in the scriptures. And if that's your reaction, know that you didn't get it from this foundation. You got it from another place. And you need to get rid of it. And I say you, I mean we. trust me, I work as hard as I can with this too, because we've all been exposed to this evil that's in the world. You know, and we have to be honest with ourselves and getting rid of it, you know. But if we discipline our minds, just like I was talking about with the way that carpenter disciplines himself to build properly, if we do that with our minds and we discipline ourselves to serve others, then these problems actually become more minimal, because we don't look at things with the thought of retaliation. We look at things, and maybe if somebody's griping to me, hey, that's an opportunity I might have to help that individual. You know, maybe I can get through to them, and I'm not going to do it through retaliation, obviously, You know, but maybe if I bear with it and I keep my mouth shut and I work diligently and I show that individual that I respect him, you know, maybe I can get through to him. And maybe together we can work this out. You know, but we're not going to do it the other way. Praise Yahweh. We're not going to do it the other way. So I ask the question again. How much do we value the work that Yahweh has given to us? You know, where does that stand on our priorities? Because it's got to be at the very, very top. It's got to be there. You know, what are we willing to go through to get this work accomplished? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. We see another building analogy here. In 1 Corinthians 3, and please look at verse 13. This is found on page 888. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 13. Let's just go back up to 12. And he says, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. Because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. Did you not expect a test to come? Did you not expect that this fiery trial? Because you're not reading the scriptures. If you weren't expecting that, you're not reading your scriptures. Because look, right here, he says, the fire will test the quality of each man's work. So why do you make sure it's right before you walk away from it? Because you know the fire is coming to test that work. You know you can't leave that undone. You're not going to get away with it. If you have a problem with your character, you can't leave it undone. You have to address it. You know, and again, we have to address it. So keep that in mind, because this fire will continuously come to test that work. So what are we building on this foundation? Let's turn over to 2 Kefa 1. Because it ought to be moral excellence. That's what we're told to build. 1 Kefa 1, let's just first look at verse 3. He says, as his holy power was granted to us all, things that pertain to life and holiness through the full knowledge of him who called us. Look at this. We were called to this glory and virtue. And if you look at that side note there, that virtue is moral excellence. So that is what we're building in the house of Yahweh. This moral excellence. We actually have a manual for it. So we could put ourselves next to this manual and see, if are we building it according to the manual? You know, there's our guide to go by. If we're not, then we need to go back and fix some things. But, you know, we ought to be able to do this. Let's look at Hebrews 13 and verse 9 real quick. I'm going the wrong way. Hebrews 13. Because this is really what got me thinking of the title. Don't forget that title. Hebrews 13 and verse 9. Do not be carried away with different kinds of strange doctrines. Okay, that's what's taught all over the world, in every aspect of the world. Not just their official doctrines, but the ones that are subliminally taught to you in every form of entertainment, of every avenue of media that they have in the world. This is what's being taught, is different kinds of strange doctrines. They're not of this household, okay? So look at this, though. For it is righteous. What is righteousness? Remember Deuteronomy 6:25? It is righteous that the heart be made steadfast by gratitude and not by instruction from which there is no benefit and how and which is received on how to live. But I want to pay attention to the middle of that verse there. For it is righteous that the heart be made steadfast. Now, the peaceful solution, the self-control unit on page 225 gives us a definition of the word steadfast. And it says steadfast / persistent. And it says you are determined not to give up your not to give up or change what you have set out to accomplish. Okay, you're determined to do so. That's what it means to be steadfast. And it's a positive character trait. And we get it by gratitude. What is gratitude? Well, it's really just being thankful. You know, we have so much to be thankful for in the house of Yahweh that we have any part at all in this work. And we are going to accomplish this steadfast character by showing Yahweh how grateful we truly are. You know, because when we don't, we're not showing Yahweh that we're grateful. If we walk away from his work, if we walk away from his blessings that he's given us to be a part of this work, well, we're not showing gratitude, and we need to. And remember, it's an act of service that shows gratitude. It's not just words. Oh, thank you, Yahweh. I'm going to go home now. That's not how we show our gratitude, you know. Anybody can give lip service. But here in the house of Yahweh, we have to produce the truth, the real fruits of the Spirit, you know, which are not just lip service. But this shows Yahweh the heart. And this shows how we can actually be made steadfast. If you turn over to Proverbs 4:18, I wanted to get this one in too real quick. Because look at this. It's you know, people sometimes get in this feeling that this is maybe monotonous, you know, but it's not. It's a straight and narrow path that we walk. But in verse 18, he says, "But the path of the just is like the first light of dawn, which continues to grow." It grows brighter and brighter as we go on. You know, your understanding continually grows. And as your understanding grows, your joy grows with this. And the more you get into it, the more you want to get into it. The more you put your hand to this work, the more you see the beauty and what this work accomplishes. You know, and this is the only work that is going to accomplish what the world is looking for, what we're all looking for, to break the bonds of iniquity that are upon this earth right now. Let's quickly turn over to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. And let's look at verse 14. But he says, "But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and firmly believed." And notice this, because this is important. "Knowing from whom you have learned them." Okay, don't continue in the things that you believed in the world, but continue in the things that you've learned from the house of Yahweh, because you know where you learned them. You know that plummet is not wrong. You know, have all the faith in the world in that, and that the house of Yahweh and what the house of Yahweh teaches is not wrong, and it will never lead you astray. So, you know, we have to be able to put all of our trust in that in order to advance. And, you know, and there's great confidence in doing that. Let's quickly turn to Iob 17. Time really does fly. Iob 17, and let's look at verse 9. He says, "But the righteous hold to their ways." Okay, that's what being steadfast is all about. And notice that word righteous. The righteous will hold to their ways. So this is actually accounted as righteousness, and those with clean hands will grow stronger and stronger. Just like that proverb said, it grows. It grows within you. But you have to hold to your way. You have to develop this steadfast character that is willing to serve out of the gratitude that Yahweh has given to us, that this great opportunity to be a part of this growing kingdom here. That has no end. As one of the other prophets said, this kingdom without an end. It just continues to grow. So you never have to reach a point to where I've seen it all, I've done it all. You're never going to get there. Okay? Yahweh himself is continuously learning, which is a mind-blowing thought, you know, to think of that. 1 Corinthians 10. Actually, no, let's turn back to Hebrews 13:9 real quick, because I want to show that and remember that word righteous. Hebrews 13 and 9 that we had read earlier. I just want to refresh that in your mind, that he says, For it is righteous that your heart be made steadfast by gratitude. Okay, that is according to the law. The law teaches us to be thankful. Okay, so if we're not being thankful, then we're not in obedience with the law. We're not in compliance with the laws that Yahweh give us to live. 1 Corinthians 10, if we'll turn over there. First Corinthians 10 and verse 23. Actually, let's look at verse 24. He says, "Let no one seek his own will, but each one the other's well-being." And this is the mindset that gets us there. You know, when we're constantly focused on our own promotion, on our own needs, on our own wants, our own lusts, we never see what's going on around us with the person next to you. And the scripture does give us this antidote here. It says, "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." And if you do that, you'll notice that your own needs will not only be met, but they'll supersede what you've expected. You know, true joy only comes out of service. I've seen the most miserable people in the world who want to be served all the time. And every little thing that goes wrong in their life, they throw tantrums about it, and they can't react because they can't get their way and they don't understand it. You know, that is a miserable existence. Where the servants of Yahweh, you know, it seems like, you know, whatever you put in our path, well, it's just another obstacle. We'll figure out a way around it, you know, and we'll do so joyfully, and we'll work together in doing it, you know. But that is the true joy that's taught in the house of Yahweh. And praise Yahweh for that. Yeah, so if you turn to 1 Corinthians 15, for just a little bit over, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, he says, "And thanks be to Yahweh, who gives us the victory through our King Yeshua, through our King and High Priest Yeshua Messiah. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work." Well, the work is a service. You know, the work is not a lip service. It's an actual service that we do, all of us. And if you're not a part of this work, brethren, I beg of you, please get involved. Get involved in something. It doesn't matter how little you think it might be. Get involved and do it with all your might. You know, if you deal with the children and one of the children makes you upset, don't get upset at that child. You know, use that opportunity to become a better teacher. Find a more effective way to get to that individual. You know, if you have a problem in whatever the work it is, do so with all your might. Figure out these problems. Don't be someone who just, you know, punches in a clock and watches the time. Oh, yeah, I'm making money now, you know. When is it, lunchtime yet? You know, I've seen this so much in the world. And it's like they don't understand how a job works. If you're not making money for your employer, if you're not being a profitable servant, you're wrecking yourself, you know. And it's no different here in the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, we need to be working. Even if it's all a free will work, but do so with all of your might, longing for the promotion of the work that you do. And that is the great promotion of the house of Yahweh. But that's all the time I have today. And I, like I said, it's truly been an honor to be able to speak before the called out ones of Yahweh. May Yahweh bless each and every one of you, and I'll turn the services over to the great Kohan Zephaniah.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We've got some real prophecy being fulfilled this week. We have the Pope, of course, with his remarks on gays, and that's what he calls them in this. He says, if a person is gay and seeking the Lord, who am I to judge that person? And this is a big, strong signal that he's sending. It's an unambiguous message. Of course, this has always been their position, but this man is one who is going to announce it, and he is the one who is going to enforce it more than the others. We have a few interviews with Dolan Cardinal Dolan and a man from Opus Dei, and they're trying to explain this remark so that they don't get too many people upset, and it's like they're straddling the fence. They're trying to be a wolf and a sheep at the same time, and it's kind of funny to watch. But then they have we have the peace treaty, of course, which is moving forward. Just as Pastor has spoken, this is the seven-year peace treaty. It's the Oslo Accord. And we have John Kerry, and he mentions that this is going to be a nine-month process. Just like prophecy, this is almost certain to go through the way they're talking if you follow the people that are involved in this. And they call it the final status negotiations, which is the permanent status according to the Oslo Accord. It is that same Oslo Accord, which in it says anything that's final takes over anything in the interim. So anything that's gone on between September of 1993 and now is eliminated. This is the final treaty once they come up with it. This is the peace, true peace, which is what they're working on now. So this is really the prophecies coming to pass, and it's going to be very little time now before the nuclear wars break out. So let's play the video. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Shalom, everyone! Got a house full here today. There we go. Love that. Praise Yahweh. And you may be seated. And we got all that on tape on a pleasantly spring day, almost winter now. Day. The news I wanted you to get out of those articles is really great. It shows the Pope, of course, in his confusion, and which the scripture shows. And then it shows the quartet. I hope y'all got that about the quartet. It's mentioned more than once. And that is the important part right there. The quartet is leading this. And remember what you've been brought about the catechisms of the Catholic Church? Did you hear this mentioned? Catechisms of the Catholic Church? They wanted to hush that up when they found out I was quoting it. But they got some other things in there about sodomy and things that they want to bring out. They've got some more that they don't want to bring out. Count it a joy. Just do it. Servitude. That's what the great Kohan Reynolds was talking about. Great Kohan Reynolds Hawkins. Oh, Father Yahweh, may the house of your servant Israel be blessed forever. This is what I wake up to look at on Sabbath morning. Praise Yahweh. You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Now, and this is a scripture. These are scriptures. And you can bet they're going to come true with this house right here. The gates of hell won't prevail. There's just a few things. I won't be able to cover but a few things. But the cyclospora infection. Now, this is more than just diarrhea. I can guarantee you, you better be careful and get prepared. It may, if this spreads, they'll give you some shots if you go to the doctor, and they'll tell you they got you well, and they don't mind lying. You know, we've seen this before with their penicillin shots and telling you that they got rid of syphilis. Well, we didn't see how they got rid of syphilis. It's a never-ending thing. So the STDs are a never-ending thing with today's society. You can't get rid of something when you keep producing it, you know. And of course, this is what we're doing right here. I hate to say this, but when you sit down on a dirty commode, it's going to get on you, and it's going to get on your clothing. And if your children hugs them, hugs you or something, they'll get it in their mouth or nose and so forth. You've got to be careful about these things, and more careful as you see the day approaching. Russia and China preparing for global war. That is great news to me. This right here, 9 months, I hope you caught the many times that he said 9 months. Oh, I thought that was great. Read the book. Get the book and read it, The Nuclear Baby. Now, they're speaking, of course, of the 1993 Clinton-Rabin-Arafat peace agreement that we will get further into later, but there's still one thing left, and that's the Oslo Accord. And of course, this is what Barack Obama is trying to push through to bring peace. And he's very much behind it. The quartet is pushing that. Don't, just because they're backed up in the background, you know, and pushing other people forward, don't mean that they're not behind it. 9 months goal. 9 month goal set. That's the headlines on these articles. Statement by Middle East Quartet is also on there, but that one is being held in the background. But the quartet, remember Revelation 6 shows you the quartet and exactly what's going to take place. The House of Yahweh is the only ones that's brought this out many years ago. The Mark of the Beast was written in the 70s, and that's when I first brought out about the seven-year peace plan. It wasn't signed until 1993, September the 13th, 1993. Before these events started taking place, the great Yedidiah Hawkins was sending me newspaper articles from different newspapers here in the United States showing that these talks were going to begin, and President Obama had signed the agreements to start this thing, and he was bringing to remembrance the many scriptures that, and he said, get everybody to read the Mark of the Beast. Praise Yahweh. Middle East Diplomat Quartet welcomes renewed Israeli-Palestinian talks. They are behind it. The House of Yahweh, Bible scholar publishes article, says one prophecy proves the whole Bible true. Now, somehow or another, this news article that I wrote to go in the prophetic word and the monthly newsletter got to the news media, and I guess it got to a leading source because there's 53,268 news medias ran this thing. Yes. Now, this prophecy actually does prove that, and you need to read that, study it. Study it closely. There's no way the other prophecies, including this quartet thing right now and the Pope's confusion, could be known or fulfilled without that prophecy being fulfilled. In response to the Trayvon Martin tragedy, the Peaceful Solution Character Education Incorporated offered a solution to address the ongoing conversation. 67,230 news medias ran that story about this article right here. So as you can see, we're getting known in a totally different way now. George Zimmerman, his father, Robert, was a retired military man, which means he studied war. Also a magistrate judge, He, like the Pope, doesn't really have the right to judge anything right now. The whole world is so confused. They don't even know what is causing these matters, let alone being able to judge who's the guilty person, who actually brought this person to this condition. Well, his dad was military, also a magistrate judge, also a member of the Catholic Church. The son was George was an evening receptionist at the family's parish, All Saints Catholic Church. So this is coming from also the confusion of the Catholic Church. Another article that will be coming out shortly is Israel Hawkins says the Pope is right about one thing. He has no scriptural right to judge anyone. And that is the scriptural truth. And somebody put wow on there. But I hope the news media gets this and runs it. I really do. U.S. confirms another case of mad cow disease. See her staggering to the slaughterhouse there. So then get her on the meat counters here really soon while she's still standing. Press release. Another one that I wrote that got quite a bit of attention was, what's all the excitement about today, Monday, July the 22nd and 23rd, 2013? Why the squad cars, armed guards, motorhomes, squad cars, and armed guards? It's Malik Obama and the Peaceful Solution Character Education Team coming to bring peace. There's three pages of that. I was going to read it, but I said, no, I don't have time. I want you to get one thing in your mind here, because it has to do with today's sermon or next week's sermon. But the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program was pioneered by President Israel Hawkins in 1994. That's a important date. I'll explain why. I showed you last week, but I want to show you again. They put us up there with the celebrities, and we are the very first on this list of articles they were talking about with the celebrities here. I don't know these people. I recognize Batman. The rest of them are too young. Some of you might know them. This one says, quote, this was our quote. They spent 10 minutes now of their program talking about this. It might sound a simple thing, but actually teaching about ownership and the right of ownership, as well as the basic concept of asting, is fundamental to installing empathy and consideration for others and their property into our societies. Now, they spent 10 minutes talking about that, and I don't know how many they reached, but I would like to get that and play it here and see what they had. This was the very first article in response to the Trayvon Martin tragedy, the peaceful solution, and that's the way they have it listed on their show. First article, very first one. Peace. You see that peaceful solution? They were talking about this for 10 minutes among the celebrities. Recent press release. What's all the excitement about? I read you that, and the response this got, 19,000 557 newspapers or news media, however they run their news programs, television programs, whatever. Last week, I didn't read these, but the Arizona Daily Star, the Bay News, 9. You know, now that goes clear from Arizona back to the Pacific, Bay News, Bomberg News, Boston Globe, the Boston Globe. I guess there's two different ones. Charlotte Observer, Chicago Tribune, Congressional Quarterly. Maybe all the congressmen get that. I don't know. Albuquerque, Arizona, BBC, Boston Globe. There's one, the Boston Globe, and then another one is the Boston Globe. Boys Life, I'm glad of that one. Business. We covered just about Chicago Sun-Times. That's two in Chicago. Chronicle of Higher Education. CNN. Chronicle of Higher Education. And they went to the top when they chose that one. They sure did. Ownership. Mistaught for thousands of years, and now the truth comes out about ownership. Everyone needs to get that and read it. And then we get back to the who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? Now, this Charlotte Rose, Grail King. Well, anyway, this article was ran on CBS. It was ran by many, many others, and I don't know how much time they spent on it, but this shows the confusion of the Catholic Church. They, in their catechisms of the Catholic Church, they say that it is a sin. The act of it is sin. And if you notice one thing about the Pope's address to this, he never said anything. He never mentioned anything about repentance. Now, if somebody comes to you, he said, seeking the Lord. Well, how is he seeking? What's he talking about? Is he wanting to repent of this sin? And he does admit it's sin. Now, he should have went ahead and admitted that sin is going to get you burned in hell, including Pope Francis. And the scripture is very implicit on that. 7-year covenant. I don't have time for that. Maybe this one. I'll have time for this one. But the 7-year covenant, I'll rehearse a little on that next week. I'm not going to bring the whole thing, but be turning over to Zechariah, the 3rd chapter. But you need to get that article and rehearse it this week sometime. Maybe, if you can. The 7-year peace plan, first off, you find it in the Mark of the Beast, and then we cover it even more in the book called The End, and then the nuclear baby. And you need to start rehearsing that nuclear baby, because it looks like we're going to see it all come to pass in this. They keep saying 9 months. If you look at 9 months, 9 months gets you up to the Feast of Passover. Yes. Yes. 4-4-1-4. 4-4-1-4. Now, some of you guys that handle these numbers, you can start to work on that one. Another number that that keeps entering my mind is that Moshe. Now, Yahweh said no longer will they even speak of what Moshe did in bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. They're going to talk about throughout eternity what we're doing right now to bring out this following out of the clutches of Satan in this nuclear time period. This is going to be exciting, really exciting. Talk about the intervention, you know, and the powerful interventions that's going to come from the heavens to assist Yahweh's house, guide Yahweh's house. That's what he's getting us ready for now, the unity where he can actually work with us. And in 94, there was something took place that, I was counting it loss at the time, and now I see what Yahweh meant. But in Zechariah now 3, he says that he showed me Yahshua, the high priest, standing before the messenger of Yahweh with Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. Well, of course, that's what we're seeing today, that we're seeing the Catholic Church come out real strong now and start trying to deceive the world, the total world, and it's little remarks, you know, thinking no one will notice, I guess, or maybe they didn't even notice. Maybe they're just too stupid, too scripturally illiterate to understand what they're saying and how they're contradicting themselves every time they open their mouth now. In verse 10, he says, "In that day, says Yahweh of hosts, every man will invite his brother under his own vine and his fig tree." Well, you should be able to put that together without me even saying anything. Look over to, keep that scripture in mind, turn over to Yochanan 15. Yochanan 15. And this just shows you how close Yahweh is to his house and how he's guiding and directing his house, but, making sure that everyone is right to be used. He can't use anyone unless they're in unity with him. And when you're not in unity, when you're not following what the great Kohan Kiefer Reynolds Hawkins just brought out, you know, you're not in unity with Yahweh. And you need to start. I know it's hard. I've been down that road many times and still crossing over rocks and stumbling stones and ditches. But it's easy for you to let your temper flare up. Sometimes it's even harder to kick yourself and put it back down. But you can do it if you set your mind in advance and ask for Yahweh's inspiration, total 100%. But you can't ask for his inspiration unless you're willing to begin with to do it. So set your mind in advance to first shut your mouth, you know. That's the hardest part. What a big fire a little tongue can start. And you start popping off, you shut yourself off from Yahweh, so you shut yourself off from inspiration, you know, with that little tongue. And then it gets harder. And that's when you start thinking, well, why am I here? I hate this place. You know, I hate to overcome. I hate to look forward to a job in the kingdom. I hate all these blessings that Yahweh is calling me to and giving me right now. I hate all this knowledge that I'm having to absorb. That's the things that's going in your mind, but you're not saying that, but that's the things that's actually getting to Yahweh. But back here now to Yochanan, and remember what you just read here, inviting everyone under his own vine, own fig tree. Yochanan 15, 1 through 5, he says, "I am the true vine." So where are you inviting the people? Now, I know you had it pictured in your mind, you know, that everybody's going to have a little garden place in the backyard, and they're going to invite the people out there under their vine. It runs a little deeper than that. We'll get that now and keep it in your mind. My Father is the vine dresser, and here's the important part right here. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit or that holds back the work. You know, you can get so busy trying to defend yourself or correct things or keep people in line that you can't, you get so busy with that sometimes you can't do the work of Yahweh. And changes have to occur. And of course, that's what took place in 1994. And right after that took place, we set to work, the elders. And I mean really set to work. And that's when the peaceful solution was produced. Right in the hardest part of my life. And it went strong. And now the celebrities of the world are talking about it. One day they're going to be coming to you and praising you for what and thanking you for what you brought to them, because this talk is not going to stop. It's like the talk of Nora, where Yahweh put a little bit of gossip. You might think about that when you want to gossip. Think about that. That's a great thing to gossip about. Yahweh put this little few words in her mouth, and from that comes the peaceful solution today. That's quite a task, especially when all the Holy Scriptures was taken away from everyone by the Catholic Church and said, no, you can't own one of these. You can't own a manuscript. You're a witch if you do. Witch and a wizard and a heretic, and they had all kinds of righteous names for those people that was worse than Al Capone. But Yahweh is the every branch. Yahweh is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit or holds the house back or holds the work back. Think about this when you're gossiping. He takes away. You see that? Yahweh takes it away. When it gets to where, you know, the work is poisoned by it. And of course, this is what was taking place at that time. And we kept trying to, we talked about it, we kept trying to correct it. And saying things are being sneaked in and they're printed before they're ever caught. Things like this. He takes away in every branch. And every branch that produces fruit, he purges. He purges that branch. That's what he's doing with us here today. Cleaning us up. That it may bring forth more fruit. You see, the purpose there is for you to assist in the house, bringing, you got to be a member of the team, assist in the house, bringing forth fruit. You are my fruit. Now, if you invite others under this vine, which is Yahshua, which that's what every man is going to be doing, every man and woman in the house of Yahweh. Nora wasn't the only one that's going to be doing this. That's what you're doing now. In fact, when you're helping with this Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, you're inviting people under the vine, Yahshua. He purges, cleanses, purifies, that it may bring forth more fruit. You're already clean, he says, through the Word. Now, this is not a hocus-pocus diddledy-docus. Hold your place there and look back to Yochanan 663, where he says the Spirit... it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is worthless. Now, what is the Spirit then? The laws that I speak, they are. The speak to you, they are Spirit. So that clears that up. The Spirit is The flesh is worthless, but the Spirit gives life. And of course, they put the Holy Spirit and personified this. And this is what the Christianity does, as if there's a Holy Ghost out there that enters your body and everything is just glorious from then on. You can just continue on in your sin, but he's going to whop you up there to heaven with his magic wand. That Holy Spirit, that Holy Ghost. In fact, that's written in the King James Version, Holy Ghost. And they are life everlasting. That's what gives you life. If you look to verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have their sins revealed. Now they have no cloak for their sin. Well, he gives them the Spirit Holy here. He's teaching it to them in the laws and the prophets, as we just saw. He who hates me hates my Father. So this is the Spirit that gives life. And now if you go back to verse 3, you are already cleansed through the Word. This is the laws and prophecies of Yahshua. Now, we know here from chapter 15 and 1 through 5, we haven't read it yet, you are already cleansed in verse 3. Abide in me, he says now in verse 4. Now, that abide, it means to be strong, steadfast, like as he describes so many times as a stone or a rock. And Yahweh is the rock. He's the foundation. And that's what everything else is built on, is Yahweh himself, as Yahshua said. This is this rock, this stone. So abide in me. Be strong. Don't be one way one day or 1 hour and then change your mind and go the other way. And I in you, abide in me so I can abide in you. So you can abide under this vine. Just as the branch cannot produce fruit by itself, I can't produce fruit by myself. I depend solely upon Yahweh and Yahshua. I am the branch in this time period. When it speaks of the branch, it's speaking of the branch. Abide in me and I in you, just as the branch cannot produce fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, Yahshua. Now everybody right now is saying, come under the vine. Come under the vine. The other says fig tree, but it should have been translated what? Olive. Olive. Not fig, but olive. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. That should establish he is the vine. The commentators, that try to interpret these things, that's what they do, they interpret. But they always forget the scripture here, and they apply it to King Cyrus. They apply it to dead saints here and there. And they argue about this back and forth. And they take up a half a book sometimes in arguing back and forth what this might mean, when all they'd have to do is believe what Yahshua said, and that would straighten out the matter. And if they then, when they study the other scriptures, they'll make sense when you come by this. I am the vine. Well, what is he talking about then back in Zechariah? Everyone's going to be inviting everyone under the vine and under the branch. The branch. You're under it now. You've been invited here. Just don't leave. Be firm. Be strong. Be spiritual. Spiritually minded. You can't move a spiritually minded person because it's based on the law. He bases his mind on Yahweh's law and says, this is it. This is my foundation. This is where I'm going to stand. No ifs, ands, and buts. Yahshua was the vine. That settles the matter. We got a branch that started the house of Yahweh in these last days and by prophesied So that settles the matter right there. There's no further moving. You don't move. This tree don't move. An oak tree, look at it. Its branches move back and forth a little, you know, with the wind, but that tree stands firm down deep in the ground, 30 to 40 feet roots going down to that foundation, Yahweh. Yes, we have the foundation. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him produces fruit. They bring forth fruit into the house. They don't destroy the house. They don't talk against the house. They tell you what a great thing it is that is being offered here. You know, where we fall short, you know, we have the way to perfect peace. Where we fall short is we don't use it. That's where we fall short. Use it. Set your mind to it and don't let up on it. But without me, you can do nothing. Get that in your head. You can do nothing. I know my time is up, but let's cover two more scriptures here. Micah 4, 1 through 4 shows, that's on page 705, that in the last days, you got to remember these are the last days. Take it to heart. Believe every word the prophets have spoken. You got that? Micah 4, 1 through 4. 1 through 3. Yahweh says, in the last days I will establish my house. Now, this was written in 710 BCE. 710 BCE. Now, there was a lot of water went under the bridge, you know, between that and the last days, because the last days is described by Samuel as two people in a future day preaching, and they bring many sons to righteousness. They shine as the stars of heaven, he said. They're going to. And they bring many people, he says, under this vine and under this fig tree, this branch of Yahshua and his apostles that is standing strong in these last days. It is really something how the prophecies are, you know, they all started with the house of Yahweh being established in the last days under the authority of Yahshua. That's in Genesis 49. But before that, it was shown by Abel. And then you come on down to Zechariah speaking again now in the last days in chapter 5, 4 and 5, showing the branch. What are these two olive branches? And Revelations 11, if you remember that, these two witnesses are the two olive branches. So that tells you where the two olive branches, you know, they're two olive branches, so you have to go back into the prophecy and see. Lo and behold, here in the fourth chapter, and even before that he shows it. Even in chapter 3 he shows it. But the whole thing is shown here. But it's not to take place until Yahshua has been murdered, the scriptures all wiped out, forbidden to be owned. And this took place for 2,000 years, and all of it prophesied that it would be taken away and changed and destroyed even. They couldn't destroy the word completely. There was always the Noras that kept the word going, kept it going. And they wrote what they could and said what they could. They gossiped about it. They didn't gossip about each other. They gossiped about the work of Yahweh and how what a wonderful thing it was and how he was bringing this, going to bring this to perfection. Well, it's here. The last days is here. The Pope is standing in total confusion. The quartet is fixing to as Russia said, Russia and China, didn't read you the article, but maybe I will next week. Russia and China are preparing for global war. Russia and China preparing for global war. Well, of course, the quartet's moving forward. The Pope is moving forward with his plans. Remember now, Malachi Martin exposed their plan in the book, The Keys of This Blood. And he himself used catechisms of the Catholic Church in writing that. But he outlined the plan of the Catholic Church to bring forth this war, and he said to himself, he said that the Catholic Church plans on being on top, but so is the United States, so there's a competition there. And he says there's a three-way competition. One of them is Russia. He showed this. Well, there's others joining Russia now in their opposition because they see that the United States plans, the United States or the Pope himself. Of course, the Pope plans on controlling the United States after this war is over. But this war is not coming accidentally, brethren. It's planned. It's planned, and they're carrying it out, and they intend on depleting the population and get it to where only the Catholics are left alive on the face of the earth. That's Satan's plan. Of course, that's the Pope's plan. Satan plans on destroying the whole thing, Catholics, Muslims, everyone. And Yeshua says if she can do it, then these words won't endure. But he said she won't prevail this time. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you!